Are you ready for the Midwest Horse Fair? Blaine's Farm and Fleet sure is. Visit their booths at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison, Wisconsin this year, April 19th to the 21st. They'll have exclusive discounts, prize giveaways, and more. See farmandfleet.com for details.
We're recognizing farms and homesteads that have been in the family for more than 100 or 150 years. I'm Allison Lund for the Midwest Farm Report. These families will get together at State Fair Park in West Allis on August 9th for a celebratory breakfast. One family farm receiving the Century Farm recognition is Spurley Farm. Nate Kirch traces the history of the farm on his mother's side back to 1883 when Hans Spurley, an ancestor from Norway, purchased the property in the town of Dunn. Nate shares more about the farm's history.
Yeah, so our ancestors on my mother's side came from Sogn, Norway, and they originally settled over by Sunnyside Beach, kind of by Lake Higanza State Park, kind of on the shorelines of Lake Higanza. And in 1881, 1883, we have a little bit of conflicting information, but we've kind of settled on the 1883 date. My great-great-great-grandfather, Hans Spurley, bought the farm from William Sigelkow, which is kind of a McFarland name. The Sigelkow family was present in the McFarland area, and they bought the original 80-acre farm in 1883, relocating from, I guess, what would have been Pleasant Springs and the Lake Higanza area to our current location.
Awesome. And when you acquired that farm, what buildings were on it? What was the farm originally used for? Walk me through some of that information.
Yeah, so the house, from what we can tell, again, from records and then from, you know, ancestors who are obviously no longer with us, the house was built in 1847, so a year before Wisconsin was a state. They believe that the house is one of the earliest in the town of Dunn. It was, again, built by William Sigelkow, from what we can ascertain. At the time, you know, there was a small dairy barn, some other miscellaneous outbuildings that was expanded upon and built upon by, obviously, Hans, and then his son, Oscar, and then his son, Richard, who was my grandfather. By the time Richard kind of relinquished control and was no longer there on the farm, there were machine sheds and corn cribs and chicken houses, and my grandparents milk cows and had upwards of 1,000 chickens at any given time, and then ran at that time not only our home farm, but we had two estate farms, one just to the east and one to the south. Richard was running approximately 300 to 350 acres in row crops every year, and got out of the dairy industry in the mid-50s, but the chickens and hogs stayed on for some years later, but then probably by the 70s was just in corn and soybeans. We raised tobacco until probably the late 90s. We had tobacco on the farm, and then again, my grandfather retired with some health problems, and Kendall Uphoff with Uphoff Farms has run our farm since about 1993, 1994.
So it sounds like a lot of work throughout the years. And what were those first few years like on the farm?
You know, again, from stories and from history, you know, from family members, I know there were a lot of hard times. I know there were, you know, a lot of sacrifices that were made. You know, the way that the farm has kind of been passed down from generation to generation, you know, originally from Hans and then to Oscar and then Richard, you know, there were certainly some, you know, tough times and sacrifices that were made. But at the same time, I think, you know, the quality of life that they had, certainly my grandfather thought that there was, you know, no better place to, you know, to be, to raise a family, you know, to be in the outdoors and, you know, to have access to all of that, you know, natural beauty was definitely something that he held in a very high regard, and always did his very best to you know, care for the land, care for the farm, to give back, to not always be taking. It was definitely a top priority.
I can imagine that there were definitely hard times and struggles, but it's awesome to hear the stories of how these farms are passed down throughout the years. Still focusing on the past, are there any memories that were shared with you that you'd like to share with me?
You know, I guess for me, growing up as a child, you know, in the 80s, certainly remember, you know, riding along with my grandpa, whether it was planting corn, combining corn, you know, running corn and beans to the co-op in Cottage Grove. Certainly the tobacco memories that we have of all the men. I think half of McFarland probably worked for the Spurleys at any given point in time during, you know, tobacco harvest. The meals that my grandma and my mother, my aunt would make, the camaraderie with the people, and just the long-term friendship. I mean, my grandfather's been gone close to 15 years now, and we still have people stop and talk about Richard and talk about working for he and Barbara, his wife. So I think it's just it's the work ethic that was instilled in all of us. And then the friendships that we've made and that we've, established and continued on long after some of that farm work is done.
It's really awesome to make those close-knit bonds and just become sort of a figure in the community. And is there anything that really makes your farm unique and makes it stand out in the community?
You know, I think at this point in time, as we sit here in 2022, it's the fact that we still have the farm. It's the fact that we have prioritized our agricultural past and the fact that we continue to turn away development and annexation. We really value what we have. And my grandpa always used to say that once it's gone, and there's no amount of money that can bring it back. So as we sit now on the edge, really, of McFarland and Dunn, the fact that we continue to prioritize that preservation and that agricultural use, we get some funny comments and we get some, conversations with folks like, why don't you sell? Why don't you get out? Why don't you cash in? We're very, very cognizant of what that means, and that once it is gone, it's gone. I mean, my daughters are the sixth generation in our family to live in that house, and that's pretty rare in a day and age when most people don't stay somewhere for 30 years, much less, I think we're at 139 years this year. So I think just the fact that we stay and everyone knows where Spurleys is at, and it's been that way for generations.
You're certainly right in saying that once it's gone, and it's great to see that tie that you have to the farm and to the land. And I'm glad that you bring up your daughters, because I was wondering, what does it look like moving forward? What is the interest in taking over the farm in the next generation?
I have three daughters, and obviously my mother and my aunt are still highly involved in the farm and the day-to-day operations, and that's what my grandparents would have wanted. As far as down the road, I'm hopeful that, we can keep it the way it is indefinitely. My hope is for my lifetime. And, once I'm gone, I guess that'll land in somebody else's lap. Again, the three daughters all realize the history and, the value that we place on that place. One of the three, I think, is certainly more interested than the other two. She's very active and involved when we're, out either maintaining waterways or, clearing tree lanes and things of that nature. So I'm hopeful. I mean, obviously nobody has a crystal ball, but I certainly don't want it to die on my watch. Let's put it that way.
Well, while it is still in your watch, are there any improvements or changes that you're planning on making in the near future?
Again, when my grandfather passed, we were forced to, take down a lot of the agricultural buildings. We put up a new Cleary building just kind of to house his tractor collection and all of the other things that are still there. The house continues to be a never-ending project. When you have something that's that old, there's always maintenance and things that needs to be done. As far as the farm itself, we continue to maintain waterways, always working with Uphoff on soil quality and soil management, just to continue continuation of those practices. And but as far as major projects, I think at this point, you know, we're to a point where we are just trying to, you know, maintain what we have and preserve, you know, that agricultural use.
Well, it certainly sounds like a never-ending project, but I'm sure so many folks appreciate the work you're doing to keep it in your family and in your hands. It sounds like we've covered a lot, Nate. Is there anything that I'm leaving out that you'd like to share?
The Centennial Award with the farm is just something that we pursued probably more so to honor, you know, the generations that have come before us, because without them, you know, we wouldn't have the opportunity that we now have to maintain, this special place. The award and the recognition is certainly something that I can't take, credit for. I think it needs to rest on, you know, Richard, and it needs to rest on Oscar, and it needs to rest on Hans and all those generations that that came before us and took care of it and were able to entrust us with its care going forward.
Nate Kurtz sharing the history of Spurley Farm in the town of Dunn. The Century Farm program originated as part of Wisconsin's Centennial Celebration in 1948. Each year, about 100 properties are honored. You can listen to some of these stories at MidwestFarmReport.com. These stories are brought to you courtesy of Compeer Financial. I'm Allison Lund.
Are you interested in beekeeping but still aren't sure if it's worth it? Well, Blaine's Farm and Fleet makes it easy to reap the sweet reward of homespun honey with beekeeping starter kits, accessories, and some friendly advice. Learn more, farmandfleet.com/beekeeping.